hand reaches down, turns on both bathtub faucets full power, then reaches upwards to do the same to the sink faucets. Banana Nose Maldonado leans forward and whispers to Carmel.
Now you can talk.
The old man, using the name Frank Sullivan, was met at Los Angeles International Airport November 22, 1963, by Mao Tzu-si, who drove him to his bungalow on Fountain Avenue. He gave his report in terse, unemotional sentences.
My God,
she said when he finished.
What do you make of it?
He thought carefully and grunted.
That beats the hell out of me. The guy on the triple underpass was definitely Harry Quine. I recognized him through my binoculars. The guy in the window at the book depository was very likely this galoot Oswald that they've arrested. The guy on the grassy knoll was Bernard Barker from the CIA Bay of Pigs gang. But I didn't get a good look at the gink on the county records building. One thing I'm sure of, we can't keep all this to ourselves. At the very least, we pass the word on to ELF. It might alter their plans for OM. You've heard of OM?
She nodded, saying,
Operation Mindfuck. That's right. It's their biggest project for the next decade or so. This is a bigger mindfuck than anything they had planned.
Red China?
Maldonado whispers incredulously.
You must have been reading the Reader's Digest. We get all our horse from friendly governments like Laos. The CIA would have our ass otherwise.
Straining to be heard over the running water, Carmel asks despondently.
Then you don't know how I could meet a communist spy.
Maldonado stares at him levelly.
Communism doesn't have a good image right now,
he says icily. It is April the 3rd, 2 days after the Fernando Poo incident. Bernard Barker, former servant of both Batista and Castro, dons his gloves outside the water gate. In a flash of memory, he sees the grassy knoll, Oswald, Harry Quine, and further back, Castro negotiating with Banana Nose Maldonado. But this present year, on March the 24th, Generalissimo Tequila Imota finally found the book he was looking for. The one that was as precise and pragmatic about running a country as Lutwak's coup d'etat had been about seizing one. It was called The Prince, and its author was a subtle Italian named Machiavelli. It told the Generalissimo everything he wanted to know, except how to handle American hydrogen bombs, which unfortunately Machiavelli had lived too soon to foresee.
It is our duty, our sacred duty, to defend Fernando Poo.
Atlanta Hope was telling a cheering crowd in Cincinnati that very day.
Are we to wait until the godless Reds are right here in Cincinnati?
The crowd started to scream their unwillingness to wait that long. They had been expecting the godless Reds to arrive in Cincinnati since about 1945 and were by now convinced that the dirty cowards were never going to come and would have to be met on their own turf. But a group of dirty, long-haired, freaky-looking students from Antioch College began to chant, I don't want to die for Fernando Poo. The crowd turned in fury. At last, some real Reds to fight. 7 ambulances and 30 police cars were soon racing to the scene. But only 5 years earlier, Atlanta had a different message. When God's Lightning was first founded as a splinter off women's liberation, it had as its slogan, No More Sexism. And its original targets were adult bookstores, sex education programs, men's magazines, and foreign movies. It was only after meeting Smiling Jim Trepomena of Knights of Christianity United in Faith that Atlanta discovered that both male supremacy and orgasms were part of the international communist conspiracy. It was at that point, really, that God's Lightning and Orthodox Women's Lib totally parted company. For the Orthodox faction just then were teaching that male supremacy and orgasms were part of the international capitalist conspiracy.
Fernando Poo,
the President of the United States told reporters, even as Atlanta was calling for all-out war,
will not become another Laos or another Costa Rica.
When are we going to get our troops out of Laos?
A reporter from the New York Times asked quickly. But a man from the Washington Post asked just as rapidly.
And when are we going to get our troops out of Costa Rica?
Our present plans for withdrawal are going forward according to an orderly schedule,
the president began. But in Santa Isabel itself, as Tequila Remota underlined a passage in Machiavelli, Quadruple 05 concluded a shortwave broadcast to a British submarine lying 17 miles off the coast of the island.
The Yanks have gone absolutely bonkers, I'm afraid. I've been here 9 days now, and I'm absolutely convinced there is not one Russian or Chinese agent in any way involved in Generalissimo Tequila Emota. Nor are there any troops of either of those governments hiding anywhere in the jungles. However, Bugger is definitely running a heroin smuggling ring here, and I would like permission to investigate that.
The permission was to be denied. Old W, back at Intelligence HQ in London, knew that Quadruple 05 was a bit bonkers about Bugger himself, and imagined that it was involved in every mission he undertook. At the same time, in a different hotel, Tobias Knight, on special loan from the FBI to the CIA, concluded his nightly shortwave broadcast to an American submarine 23 miles off the coast.
The Russian troops are definitely engaged in building what can only be a rocket launching site, and the slants are constructing what seems to be a nuclear installation.
And Hagbar Chalin, lying 40 miles out in the Bight of Biafra in the Leif Erikson, intercepted both messages and smiled cynically and wired P in New York. Activate Malik and prepare Dawn. While the most obscure, seemingly trivial part of the whole puzzle appeared in a department store in Houston. It was a sign that said, "No smoking, no spitting, the MGT." This replaced an earlier sign that had hung on the main showroom wall for many years, saying only, "No smoking, the MGT." The change, although small, had subtle repercussions. The store catered only to the very wealthy, and this clientele did not object to being told that they could not smoke. The fire hazard, after all, was obvious. On the other hand, that bit about spitting was somehow a touch offensive. They most certainly were not the sort of people who would spit on somebody's floor. Or, at least, none of them had done such a thing at any time since about 1 month or at most 1 year after they became wealthy. Yes, the sign was definitely bad diplomacy. Resentment festered, sales fell off, and membership in the Houston branch of God's Lightning increased. Wealthy, powerful membership. The odd thing was that the management had nothing at all to do with the sign.